Hi there, everybody. Welcome to Season 4, Episode 15 of The Hard Truth Inside the Football Injury Podcast with me, Philip Heidson, and Darren McAnthony, chairman and now full owner of Peterborough United.
Majority owner.
We're going to cover that a little bit later, but it's been a couple of weeks with Christmas and travel and everything since we last chatted. We were just talking off mic about we've missed three or four games over the last couple of weeks. So let's kind of catch up. And I think we started, our last pod was just before the Fleetwood game.
Yeah, so we obviously had a couple of away games coming up, some of our bogey teams that we've never done great at. So we went to Fleetwood, we came up against Gordon fucking Banks, should have been 1-5, 6-7-0. Then it gets nervous, you're 1-0 up, extra time, injury time, all that, but now a really good win. Then we went to Shrewsbury, fucking horrendous conditions. I mean, the wind, I mean, fuck me, they scored a fluke. You thought, okay, it's one of them days. Is this going to be, the youngsters, are they going to come unstuck? But no, Ricky scored a great equaliser. Then we got a great winner. Really, really good. And then obviously yesterday was Boxing Day. Merry Christmas to all our listeners. And congrats to Phil, on a seven-figure home he's moved into now. You see him out in his terrace there enjoying himself. Success, yeah, I love it.
So that everybody doesn't hear the dog and the kids, but you may hear Nick's dog instead.
Yeah, you're so far away in your big mansion there. You know,
you're
the neighbors, don't worry.
Yeah. So, just go to a different part of the compound to record the podcast.
Yeah, so Christmas, we all have, hopefully everyone had a great time and God bless everybody. And then yesterday we played Reading on Boxing Day. I took my family. Kudos to my marketing team, the ticket team, the CEO. We had 10,500. I think it was our biggest gate on Boxing Day in 20-odd years. It was a great show by the fans. Great game. We dominated the game. I think the odd percent possession, which we do in most games, and not more. We had 20 shots, 16 corners. I think they had 2 shots on target and scored twice. So it was just one of them days. We could have scored 5 or 6 easy goals. But football was great to watch. I was going through analysing all the highlights and doing the analysis this morning, like I like to do the following the game. Probably say a couple of players tired towards the end because you're bunching up now with games. The players, the gaffer had the players in Christmas morning. I think somebody wore a Santa outfit in and they did a couple of hours. It was a great tribute from Josh Knight when he scored to Will Blackmore. God bless him, he lost his young father a few days ago, and he's been going through a hard time because of that off the pitch. So we want to send our love to Will and his family, and he's been through a tough time. And hopefully 2024, it will be better for his family, with this horrible time to lose a parent. So it was nice from the team to put up a tribute for Will for that. But it was a great game. And look, Reading are no mugs. I've no idea. I know they were deducted points. What the fuck they're doing down there? They played. When I said they're no mugs, we deserve to win. We dominated, but they're no mugs. They're a good footballing team. They've got some good players, as you'd expect from a club that was in the Premier League 5-6 years ago or whatever. But again, we played, at times, lights-out football, but probably in both boxes, not as good as we'd want to be, hence why we end up with a draw. But, every setback, we respond, and we responded at, when it went to 1-1, we scored again when they got an equaliser. One team was trying to win the game, and that's the kind of... That's what's instilled in this young group. Like, Shrewsbury away, you're 1-0 down with 28 minutes to go. The conditions are horrible. It's a fluke goal or only shot on goal and we still win the game. Fleetwood away, Gordon Banks is in goal for them. And you're thinking this isn't our day and something's going to go wrong and a goalie's made 2 fucking unbelievable saves. So that's the sign of a really, really good squad, everything involved. And we got a couple of biggies coming up. We got Barnsley on Friday night. We got Derby on TV a couple of days later. And of course, I know there were a few dissenters last night after a draw. I was saying it to my kids in the kitchen and they were like, you're joking.
Unbeaten in 8 now, aren't you?
Yeah, I think we've lost once in 3 months or 4 months in the league or whatever it was. And I think that was the last time the front four didn't play together, and that was Wigan away. I mean, there's always going to be dissenters. It's been too quiet for them, so they're going to have to come out. And unfortunately, I think young Ricky takes the brunt of it, which is fucking incredible, really, because I think we average 2.5 points a game when he plays. As our number 9, it's what he brings to the whole attack and the distraction and everything else. And there's a small few that still dig him out and have a go, which is preposterous for such a young player who's never played as a 9 in our team. He's always been a winger. And I think since he's played as a nine, you know, in that front four, I think we won six out of eight league games, draw the other two, 2.5 points a game. He's got a goal every other game, nearly. For a young striker learning his trade, you know, the things he's doing, he's an unbelievable prospect. So that does make me chuckle, but he's got, you know, a very good head in the shoulders and great staff around and everything else. So, yeah, you know, I'm sensing the Gaffer's probably going to, you know, make a few changes for the first time in seven games on Friday night, because we've got Friday night, we've got Derby on a massive pitch 2 days later. But you got to use your squad, and this is the time of year, and that's the way it's going to be. It's a squad game. We've got some great players who keep coming off the bench and making a difference.
You talk about the massive pitch for Derby, and I think I read something about Shrewsbury being the opposite. I don't know if they shortened the pitch for you whether it's just they did it this season for their style of play.
Two things surprised me, yeah. For Shrewsbury, or, you know, a good club. Yeah, they've got a beautiful pitch, great stadium, but I don't know how much they've taken off the pitch. It's amazing. But I guess every manager has a style they want to play, and maybe they don't want a wide pitch. If you're not playing with width, or you're not playing with wingers, or you're not playing a certain way, I get it. It wasn't about us. I'd made some tweet, and somebody obviously was saying, well, but I didn't mean it was about us. I was just joking, you know what I mean, about our wide players.
Does those few extra yards make a difference to how you approach a game?
I think so. I mean, obviously, you know, our game's about width. It's about our wing. We've got the best wingers in the league, and, you know, getting out there on the touchline and whatever else and getting chalk on your boots. But I guess, but in League One, you're going to get narrow pitches. You're going to get places that aren't as big. Derby's massive. You know, Shrewsbury was kind of tiny in comparison. So, look, at this level, you're going to have to win in shit conditions at this time of the year. The manager had said it recently. You know, you go through the pain barrier right now, which pays off then come February and March onwards. If you can grind out results and you're not at your best, and we're actually playing really well. You know, probably were we brilliant against Shrewsbury? No, I put that down to conditions. I thought we played really well yesterday. You know, we were, you know, again, it's a joy to watch. And of course, you're frustrated drawing at home because you want to win every home game. But you're not going to win every game of football in League One. I'm sorry. You know, Man City aren't doing that in the Premier League anymore. They will probably in 2024, but you're just not going to win every game, and you're going to get some bumps and you're going to get some disappointments and the officials. And we had a good goal we scored that the Lions person fucking gave offside, which wasn't offside. So penalties, we're not getting a lot of penalties, which is ridiculous with our, you know, power and pace. We're not getting enough this season. And I don't know what that's about, because we had two yesterday that were absolute penalties. So, but you're hoping all those things are saved up for later in the season. You know, tired legs, a lot of pace against them. Come February, March onwards, it might be even better, you know, in that regard. So, lots to improve on. You know, it's disappointing. Barnsley are in great form. Derby are in great form. Shit, the top of League One is just fucking cracking. I mean, there's so many teams. Bolton scored another fucking injury time winner. Mm-hmm. You know, fucking, I forget who else scored in the 89th minute. You know, there were lots of late goals. Portsmouth lost for the first time in forever.
Yeah, Bristol Rovers 90+4.
Yeah, it's bunched up there. You know, it's a really competitive league. You know, you got to give credit to Cheltenham. Their manager's gone in there, and, you know, they were fucking gone. You know, the ship had sailed, and now they're fucking fighting for their lives. You know, so Reading have got no right to be down there. So you just look at the league. It's a fascinating league, but a lot of goals, a lot of stuff. Oh, look, it's enjoyable, and of course you're going to get the odd smack in the nose, and you're going to have the odd setback, but. You know, we always say, isn't it, that league tables, promotions, you don't win them at this time of the year as much as everyone wants to get excited about it. You just don't.
It was Oxford that scored 90+5 as well to win.
Yeah, there you go. But
you just want to keep churning out the results and just, table will take care of itself if you keep on winning and drawing.
Just go out and play your game. Go out and play the best you can. Try and put a product on that your fans enjoy watching. And we had a lot of kids in yesterday, and you'd like to think people who watched us were like, oh, really? In fact, I took the family to Starbucks just before because we were early. And quite a few people stopped me outside and just saying, listen, really, really loving what we're seeing, really loving what we're watching. That was even better than the win. So just to hear everyone in the city is really enjoying what we're doing. And we haven't even started. You know, there's a lot more to come, you know, on all fronts. So, no, and let's talk Bradford, because obviously Bradford have had a magnificent run. I think you won the most games in 50-odd years.
Something crazy. Six on a spin we had.
You beat Gillingham away. You give me the run of results.
Yeah, Gillingham away 2-0. Doncaster away 3-1 just before Christmas.
Love that.
And then yesterday we drew 2-2 with Morecambe, but that's one of those that...
you were dead and buried. I was watching at halftime and I saw you were like 2-0 down. I was like, fuck, you're on such a good run as well.
Yeah, 2-0 down after 18 minutes. But that's the change over the last few games, is you go down and you still think we can get back into it. Whereas, you know, we would go one down before. I think there's a few games we've had even this season where we've conceded, you know, 2 minutes in and you just knew, well, that's game over, because there's no fight.
Did you look like winning?
Yeah.
Did you look like winning at 2-2?
Yeah, Andy Cook hit the bar with a header on 90 minutes, which would have been 3-2. We were just throwing. First half, we were awful. You know, first half, it looked like they'd just eaten too much on Christmas. And then we came out in the second half, completely different team, took it at them. You always felt like we could get back into it. And then when we did, you thought we were going to go and win. So it actually felt like a losing draw rather than a winning draw, because of the chances we had late on. But of course, we'd have taken that at halftime.
Yeah, but you also had 18,500 people pulling the ball into the net for the comeback. Did the fans get on you at 2-0?
No, I mean, it went quiet, but they didn't get on us like they would have done before. And that was it. You know, when you second half going towards the Kop, you know, 18,000, you just, they're sucking the ball into the penalty area.
Yeah.
So the place would have exploded if we'd have got that third one in injury time. But I think there's a lot more unity there. And now maybe, you know, we lose the next six and people might be talking about throwing tennis balls on the pitch again.
Oh, stop. I was wrong about Gray. I have to apologize, because I thought the Alexander one was a bad appointment. But, you know, fair play to Ryan and Cohen there. They got it right. He seems to have galvanized the group. That shows you that you're better in the building than you thought. Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting to see now what you're going to do in January, I guess, you know, with a new manager.
And I think January is probably about more outs than it is ins. You know, he feels like the squad's too large. He likes to work with a smaller squad. There's, you know, a lot of decent players that aren't getting a chance. You know, we're getting a partnership formed up front. Now we're playing two up front. So we've got Andy Cook, of course, but Tyler Smith. So both of those have scored more than 10 at this stage, which is really unusual for us to have even one that scores over 10 in a season, never mind to have two at this point.
Nice.
So I think there's a lot of things to be positive about, but it's easy to be positive, like say, when you've been unbeaten in seven now.
Who have you got in the next couple of games?
Who have we got? We've got Stockport at home next, which will be a biggie. I mean, I imagine that'll be a big crowd as well.
Oh, wow.
And then we've got Crewe away and Crawley at home.
So, yeah, listen, I mean, with that crowd, you could win any game. And Stockport, they haven't been at their best form in the last four or five games, have they? So there's a chance.
And they'll bring a few, I imagine.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
I imagine that's going to, well, I don't know for sure. I think if we could get 18 and a half against Morecambe, you know, who brought basically 10, then I would think that we might be able to get over 20 against Stockport just with their away following.
I looked at the League Two table and my God, it's bunched.
Yeah.
It's bunched. I mean, so many good teams at Wimbledon and MK Dons and 7 and 8, and then Bradford just behind. I mean, I really, you know, you look at the top two and go, Wrexham, Stockport are pretty much probably going to go run away with it. Mm-hmm. Then you look at Mansfield, who haven't lost since the old king died. You know, and then obviously into the playoffs.
Barrow just doing amazing. Yeah. Continuing to do amazing.
Let me tell you, I'd be shocked if he's still there.
Yeah.
I mean, I see Salford. Did they get rid of their manager today?
They did today. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, how they are fourth, I don't know the ins and the outs at Salford, but that seems like, I mean, you look at Doncaster and Salford, that looks like some pretty poor underperformance from those two, without knowing what's going on behind the scenes there.
Isn't the Barrow manager previously an Oldham guy?
Yes.
Wasn't Paul Scholes around the periphery there when he was?
Yes, he was. He probably took over from him, or one of them took over from the other one.
So Salford still mean business.
Yeah.
He seems to be the best young manager outside of Luke Williams in League Two. So you'd imagine a good League One club, say, came available, or a club like Salford who've got plenty of money, that might be something where you say, look, you know, just get us back up the table this year and let's have a go next year.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's only so much he's, with all due respect to Barrow, there's only so much he can do, unless that suits him, I don't know. But I can't imagine he'd be on a king's ransom at Barrow. So he was always going to be there for a period and then move on, right?
Yeah. I mean, you imagine that the ceiling for Barrow is essentially, you know, what Burton managed to do. You know, just kind of hanging. I mean, and they've done a fantastic job to get to that point, but hanging in and around the lower echelons of League One, but surviving there is perhaps the ceiling.
Yeah. So that's, I couldn't pick anyone in League Two. So that's going to be interesting. What else we got to talk about? Championship?
Yeah, just, well, we may as well stay in League Two. I also want to give a shout out to Tranmere. You know, Tranmere were really in the crap probably just a few weeks ago. They were really struggling down there with Sutton and Forest Green, but they've put a run together, so they're now 10 points clear.
Doesn't surprise me because obviously Nigel Atkins is a real galvanizer. Mm-hmm. You know, he's that type of like happy-go-lucky manager, isn't he? So I'd imagine, you know, sometimes it's not always, you know, what you've got in the building is what's wrong. Sometimes it's the message. Sometimes it's just some people need galvanized, you know. So fair play to Nigel. And you know, Tranmere's got good owners, so it's good to see them doing well.
Yeah, I don't want to see them struggle, for sure.
No.
Who else have we got that's Swindon. So I would say about Swindon is Jake Young. You know, they've lost four in the spin now. He's more than likely going to get recalled.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what we do with him, I'm not sure. You know, do we recall him to bring competition in? Do we recall him to sell him? Given his form this year, maybe he can go into League One. I'm not really sure.
It depends what you get from. If you're only going to get a couple of hundred grand from, call him back. Mm-hmm. If you're going to get, if somebody's going to give you 400 or 500 grand from, I would take the money while the iron, you know, the iron's hot. So, you know, if you've got two strikers with double digits each, you don't need goals, but what you probably do is need money for the rest of the squad. If that allows you to get in, I don't know, central midfielder, a defender, you know, do some business, you know, solidify the club, put them in a good shape going up the table. You know, that one sale for a position you're not struggling in that will allow you to do what you need to do with the squad, that's the best bit of business you can do.
What's the market rate then for a scored 16 in 23? Is what, 22, 23 years old? He's got 18 months left on his contract.
Yeah, I've looked at him. But sometimes you get an Indian summer for some strikers.
Yeah, right. Like this is his one. This is his one. You know, is this his season of a lifetime?
Yeah.
Or is this indicative of what his future?
It's got to be north of 300 grand upwards. Mm-hmm. You know, because of his age. You know, minimum. So you know, if somebody's serious about, you know, wanting goals in their team, that's got to be the deal, isn't it? So that'll be interesting to see if there's takers. The real key, if you want to get big money from him, he stays at Swindon and wins the Golden Boot. Then the Golden Boot adds kudos, and then you can ask for north of 500 grand upwards in the summer. So that could be a decision you make too.
It's interesting as well, because he failed at us. He failed at Barrow. You know, both of those managers said it's because he wouldn't play to the style and they basically wouldn't track back. So I think it's all about being in the right system as well for him.
Yeah, and I don't like to hear about any striker who doesn't track back, because it's such a pivotal role in modern day football. There, if your number nine doesn't, it's why we've done so well now with pace up front. The number nine, who can actually sometimes you're not capable of tracking back. Our number nine basically, you know, he runs after four defenders all game, and he allows the wingers to do their thing because he presses defenders so much. So I think in the modern day, depending on how you want to play, if you haven't got a pressing number nine who's going to track, who's going to run in behind, who's going to come back to get it, yeah, you know, they're not going to go to the top. Because every top championship club, you look at Leicester, you look at Leeds, every Premier League club, strikers have to press. They have to be able to do that role. They're just not going to last. So, you know, well, look, watch the space. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Well, let's, before we talk about goings on at Posh, let's go through the league. So we already talked about League Two. We've talked about League One. Let's go in reverse this week. But let's see if there's anything else in League One to touch on. Cheltenham now scoring, can't stop scoring after they couldn't score at the beginning of the season. Still fourth bottom, but at least there is signs of life.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. Good manager. Yeah, they seem to be doing well.
Yeah, Wigan still struggling down there now, which is a bit of a surprise. But did they get points deduction this year?
Them and Reading have had points deduction.
They're
top 10 League One clubs in my opinion, you know, squad-wise. So I don't foresee either of them going down. Unless they get hit with any more problems from the EFL, but I think they'll be fine.
Yeah, when I looked at the table, I only saw the points, but they won 9, so that would suggest that no biggies. So let's go backwards into the Championship. Let me see if I can grab. And it's been a pretty tough time, I think, for Blackburn the last few weeks. We were talking about them before, winning for fun. Now they don't seem to be able to buy a win.
Yeah, they're struggling at the moment. They were scoring a lot of goals, and now they're obviously shipping a lot of goals. So it'll be interesting to see what happens over the next like 3 or 4 games there. But he obviously needs a win. You've obviously got, you know, Ipswich hit the buffers, getting hammered by Leeds. bounced back really well yesterday. So, you know, their start to the season, I think they lost Hurst yesterday. So it'll be interesting to see what Ipswich do in the market. Southampton are like a runaway train.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just as well Ipswich have got that buffer. But what Ipswich are doing is like far probably past their own expectations at this stage. Leicester look on, you know, pretty much uncatchable. You know, you'd like to, and what a result for Rotherham yesterday, by the way. Fucking hell, Jesus, what a win at Middlesbrough. They definitely don't need PK back.
Could just do with a few more of those over the next couple of days.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Our fans are like, yeah, losing their shit over him getting pulled back, you know. So it's like, that's football.
So, and Steve Schumacher went to Stoke from Plymouth.
Yeah, everyone was surprised by that. I'm not, you know, I think everyone who keeps taking the Stoke job, they're taking it because Stoke's a big club. It's owned by billionaires. You know, there's always a chance you think of a Premier League run there if you get it right. And I'd imagine the salary is probably 5-6 times what some of the previous managers who've been at other clubs have gone over. So I don't blame Schumacher for that. I think, you know, football's such an ever-changing game that one minute you're the hero and then you lose 5, 6, 7 in a row in a champ, which you can do, and suddenly you're fired and you're out of work. So I don't blame any manager taking a big club in the Championship. You know, if Darren rang me and said Stoke are in, I'd probably be packing his bags for him because I know it's too big a club to turn down. You know what I mean? So Schumacher's done a great job. You know, and Plymouth got a good result yesterday, and they look like they've got enough about them. They're 5 unbeaten. They're going to stay up comfortably, I think.
Yeah, there's something about, I mean, I put us as one of those, you know, the League Two version, but there's something about clubs like that that is attractive. I think Steve Evans even said it when we interviewed him, that there's just something about those clubs that you want to be the one that turns it around.
Of course.
And if you back yourself, then you're going to go and try and give it a go.
And I know the Stoke owners, whoever their manager is, they'll be earning a serious wage. So it's life-changing money because Schumacher didn't make millions from being a player. You know, his family wouldn't be, you know, you lose your job next week and suddenly you're staring down the barrel. So I would never, ever criticize any manager, you know, getting a bump to go somewhere else. And Plymouth are so well run, but I'm sure they probably couldn't pay the kind of salary Stoke are paying, nor should they at the moment. So that's a tough one, you know what I mean? But I was right about Coventry. Coventry are catching fire at the right time. I said to you about them that they come good.
It's Sunderland in the playoffs right now as well. They beat Hull away.
Yeah, the Mick Beale appointment surprised me there. Not going to lie. He's got a lot to prove. He got battered in his first game. They won yesterday. So that'll be interesting to keep an eye on. He's obviously an excellent coach. He's obviously had a bit of a sticky period at Rangers. It will be interesting to see the whole dynamic at Sunderland. Sunderland obviously need a number 9. So yeah, watch this space, I guess.
And Leeds, I mean, we mentioned the win at Ipswich. They followed that up with defeat at Preston and 1-4.
Their goalkeeper, what he was doing there was ridiculous.
I haven't seen that.
He punched an opponent in the box, like not point. He gave him a slap,
yeah.
And the guy went down. Of course, like you know, fucking Anthony Joshua hit him.
Shot.
So yeah, that kind of thing. So I think that was a one-off. We're playing Leeds in a couple of weeks. God, I hope they rest some players. You know, and Birmingham again are just, you know, with the Rooney effect, like I'd always said, they're not looking any better either, are they?
No, I wonder how long he's got left already.
Well, the Americans are probably thinking, shit, you know, we can't admit we've made a mistake, right. So we're going to have to let this run a bit longer. You know, but they're not, you know, I don't, this whole bollocks about, you know, he's got a certain way of playing and da-da-da-da-da. Well, you know, I've yet to see it across his multiple jobs. You know, that he's been in, but you know, meanwhile his coach is doing a great job at Hull. You know, it was a lot of what he did at Derby. So yeah, Southampton 5-0 yesterday. I mean, you know, the Championship's gonna be for me Ipswich, Leicester, Leeds, Southampton. There's your 4 teams. You know, and it's gonna be like a mini league there fighting for those top 2 spots. I've said that for a while. So that's gonna be really interesting to see out of them in January who's gonna do the best business. Do you stick? Do you shift? They love what we've always said about Luton. Now Luton are picking up the wins. Do you know what I mean? So,
well, let's go into the Premier League. And Luton got that 3-2 win at Sheffield United. A couple of own goals in the process. 2 own goals in 4 minutes. That's going to hurt, I think, as a Sheffield United fan. But well done to Luton.
Luton are a unique team. I saw them beat Newcastle. Saw the highlights in that game. You know, again, I've always said to you, who are anyone to question the way they operate and run their football club? They get every decision right. Best wishes to their captain, obviously, after his issue and you know, his cardiac arrest he had during the game. So to all the people who helped save his life, and you'd like to see him get back. But, you know, what a story if they stay up. And if they string another couple of wins, like always said, do they stick or shift in January? What do they do? You know, do you help yourself? And by the way, massive shout out to the Bournemouth manager because they're in the top 10 of the Premier League.
10 now.
Fuck. You don't want to be playing Bournemouth at the moment, do you?
No, and that's bringing down into the mix the likes of Brentford and Crystal Palace. Brentford could do with a goal scorer back playing for them sometime soon.
No. He's selling him for 100 million. I mean, they've got enough in the building. I'm not worried about Brentford.
Now, on that note, I mean, I've seen some rumblings about the fact that he may leave in January rather than the summer.
I think it'll be the summer.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, if I was offered 100 million from in January, I'd take it. But that's me. I don't run Brentford. So I think Brentford would be fine. I think you're looking at Sheffield United, you're looking at Burnley, and, you know, potentially Palace, if they don't start scoring more goals, could get dragged into that down there. I think Everton will be too good, even with their points deduction. Yeah.
Well, they're much like Wigan we were talking about before. You know, Everton have won 18-18. So that's mid-table form.
Yeah.
If that continues, they'll have no problem.
Yeah. So, you know, I think Luton at this stage now, the way they play at home, particularly in that great away win yesterday, you'd fancy them to stay up. You know, and then I watched my beloved Liverpool quite a few times. Not overly impressed with them, if I'm honest with you, but they're pulling out results. They're winning. You know, they're I never thought I'd say it, but their front five they've got, they're just not, you know, Diaz for me, big disappointment. You know, not enough goals. My man Darwin scored yesterday, thank God. I think he needs to play every game, like I've always said. Gapco, you know, 15 and 50. You know, when you think of the previous front three we've had, you know, if Klopp gets them to the top two at the end of the season, it'll be one of his best feats, particularly now he's lost both left backs and he's lost Matip. I'm still not the midfield. You know, there's a lot of work to do there. You know, I'd be delighted with the League Cup and maybe the European, the UEFA Cup, you know, and then top four. I think that'd be great this season.
Yeah, there's not really anybody, aside from Mo Salah, of course, in that midfield forward line that you would lose and you would be upset about losing and think you couldn't go and replace them.
No, I think now if somebody gave you your money back for Diaz and they spent, what was it, 35 to 50 million on him or Gapco, you know, and even you'd ask some of the fans, and again, I don't want headlines saying I'm criticising Liverpool's players, you know, Jota's back, but it's can he stay fit? I think, look, they've got the bones of a really good team. I think he's got a lot of work to do. I think the owners are going to have to give him a bit of support. You know, again, I've always said, I think he needs a left back. You know, Robertson's not getting any younger. I think he needs another central midfielder, if I'm honest. And I think they need another forward. You know, because you look at Gapco and Diaz. Yeah, I'm not sure. Diaz started like a house on fire, but he's a little bit fur coat, no knickers. You know what I mean? Like one goal in 16, you know, and whatever else. So maybe to do with his parents, maybe he needs a bit of settling down, you know, and there's a quality player in there. Gapco, I've never been sure about. So if Liverpool can stay there, I still think Man City will win the league. But if Liverpool can give us a little bit of excitement and give us the horn, you know, around March and April and run it close, I think it bodes well for next season. I always said with Jurgen there, I'm not overly concerned.
Well, with Jurgen, I mean, there's a reminder of Sir Alex in his last few years at Man United as well, wasn't it? And the things that he was able to get out of that team. Absolutely. And the trophies and everything.
Absolutely.
And it showed as soon as he left, you know, what the quality of the players underneath it without that caliber of manager really were.
It's really funny because the gaffer rings me on his way home from every game in his car. Usually at away games, he drives back in his car. He goes in the coach. And I was getting a call after the Shrewsbury game. And he's on the speakerphone. All of a sudden, I hear this, Dara, Dara. And it's Sir Alex in the car with him driving back for Christmas. So he, basically, forget the manager. Me and him just slagged off Darren for about 20 minutes in the car, you know, all the way home about him getting. Because I keep saying to the gaffer, stop getting booked because you're giving people money you don't need to.
Yeah.
And we don't need to lose you. You're more important having you on the sideline than up in the box. And his dad was like, keep telling him not to curse and watch his language, which I thought was ironic. But, you know, and just talking about, and obviously Sir Alex was at our game yesterday,
yeah.
So, you know, spent a bit of time with him, but, and just fascinating when you spend time with him and you hear him talking on the phone about players and about this and about that and the way we're playing and whatever, and geez, the fella still loves. I actually said to him on the phone, Sir Alex, they should give you 20 million to go back into United for the next 18 months, mm-hmm. You know, just to reset things, you know what I mean, while they get the right coach or whatever else, because there's no doubt. Yeah, I know they had a comeback victory yesterday against Villa, But he would sort out so much of the bullshit in there, and he still has the energy, you know, like talking to him, whatever else, he'd have no fucking problem. If you've got Roy Hodgson, you got fucking some of the older managers still out there doing it. Sir Alex Ferguson still has that fucking
You still wouldn't mess with him, would you?
Would you fuck? Would you fuck? I mean, yeah. So, yeah, so that's always funny, you know, like the goat of managers, you know, when you're on the phone. I'm having a beer in my kitchen. My mum says, who are you talking to? I'm talking to the goat of managers, who you call Sir Alex, you know what I mean? Like what he did and educating your children that he was a manager that won 13, 14 titles. And, you know, you think of what he did. So, no, it's interesting. I still look, Guardiola is the modern day goat, and I still think Man City, they're always, Man City have this thing where the other side of January, it's like the switch flips. And I think they got De Bruyne coming back, and they got, you know, they just seem to get better. They get stronger, and then they start winning games, and they grind. They'll start with like a 1-0 win, and then they'll just go bang, 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 bang. And Arsenal and Liverpool will be like, where the fuck did they come from?
Yeah.
And you know, that's usually what happens. So I still expect that to happen.
and Newcastle just struggling with too many games, I think.
I think he's making some mental errors. I think you know, when he kept Dan Burn on where he did yesterday, I'm amazed the boy Livermento has not been given a run at right back. Trippier is having a horrible run. I think he's too loyal a manager at times. He's playing the same players over and over. I think it's catching up. They're obviously underprepared squad-wise for this season with the Champions League and with the league, which is surprising for one of the richest clubs in the world. It will be interesting to see, because I know it's a happy camp qualifying for the Champions League last year in the documentary. But if they lose another couple of games, I mean, he looked a bit... When I saw his interview yesterday, he was like a beaten man. So it'll be interesting, does he get the support? And they've got far too much quality to struggle that much. To be beaten by Nottingham Forest, I've got to be honest with you, that's not good for them. I don't care how tired they are. You got 50-plus thousand at St. James's Park. That's not acceptable.
You got a new manager bounce there as well, though.
Yeah, you do, but they shouldn't be losing them. With all due respect to Nottingham Forest.
I mean, all those three goals were... You got a question
Chris Wood. I mean, Chris Wood looked like fucking... He looked like a £200 million striker, didn't he, for 20 minutes? I mean, my God almighty, the way he put them away.
The fastest player on... the fastest player on the planet, given the defending. Unreal. The back line every single Unreal. Time was sat Unreal. 5 yards, you know, one player further back.
Newcastle need to get the better players back. They need to get their Harvey Barnes back fit. They need to get their strikers up and running again. They need to get energy back in the team. I don't know when the next international break is, if there's a break in January, but they look like a team who need a 10-day break. You know, just to re-energize. Their manager looks like he needs a break. You know, he looked sunken, you know, yesterday. So that'll be interesting to see how that all goes about. If results stay the same, did the fans start calling for him? Did the press go after him? Did the owners start getting itchy fingers going? But we're in the Champions League. We don't want to suddenly not be in the Champions League. We're the richest club in the world by ownership. So what's going on? So that's going to be interesting.
Now, as an owner, when you see a manager in doing interviews, looking beaten, you know, I know that that Darren struggled with that when you were in the Championship. But how, as an owner, do you look at that? Do you look at that and think the manager needs to be leading from the front, or do you look at it saying, I need to be there and give my manager
You look at it and go, he needs help. Mm-hmm. I think I'd rather a manager's honest, and I think that's just honesty. Some managers hide it. And I think, you know, I think at that stage, your manager needs help, and sometimes they do need help and support. And you just go, hey, listen, do what you need to do. Just pull back. Make changes. I don't care if we lose a couple of games, you know, just get it back, do what you got to do, and just take the pressure off and take the edge off. And, you know, that's sometimes the best way of doing it. And, you know, last time we were in the champ, I could see it in Darren. I was trying my best to take the edge off and give him that, you know, support, but it was him. He was gone. He didn't want to be there anymore. He was just felt so, you know, pissed off losing all the time. And I get it. You know, I really get it. You're a manager who's used to winning and success. And then just like, you know, it's the job at hand, the club our size, the championship, and it's relentless. It's that time of the year.
You take it home, I'm sure. I mean, I hear a lot of people talking about taking things home when you're losing.
You do. And it's really, really difficult to get out of it. So the best, look, all you can do is give your support. And I'm sure the Newcastle owners will try and do that. But it would be interesting to see higher up than then, past the Stavies of the world, what's the message coming in? Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's going to be the acid test, I guess, over the next kind of couple of weeks. I haven't seen their fixtures, but if Newcastle get beaten at home again, like they were by Nottingham Forest, then there's going to be problems there.
And so I'm not sure that anybody knows or cares, but Manchester City won the Club World Championship.
Hey, we won that a few years ago. There's another Robert Hart trophy. No, knock it.
Now, Is that because does it only care to the teams that are, or does it only matter to the teams competing? What I mean by that, there's not really a prestige with that. Is it more about the money?
It's a World Club Championship. It's still a big trophy. It's, you know, Man City have won 5 this year, so they're going to add that to their collection. I think anytime you're in any trophy, you want to win it.
Yeah.
You know, so I get it. People might laugh and whatever else, but it's a prestigious trophy. Liverpool have won it. Man City have won it. You know, I don't remember Bradford winning it, so you got to stop yourself about that trophy.
We did get an invite to the Intertoto Cup in 2000, though. Oh,
there you go, and you blew it. So, you know, you had a chance to win.
Zenit St. Petersburg.
So, who knows, you know. But listen, fair play to Man City. You can only win what you enter. So, yeah, you know, they, you know, Guardiola's the, you know, Jesus Christ, he's racked up some trophies.
Isn't that going to go to a month-long tournament now in a new format? I'd heard that they were... basically taking that into the club, really a club World Cup.
Oh, right. Okay. So you're going to make it more than a semi-final type thing, like make it groups. And yeah, you know, I'm not sure that's going to go down too well. Don't say that to Jurgen Klopp. He'll have a fucking heart attack when he talks about fixtures and, like, you know, whatever else. But yeah, look, this time of the year is tough for all football clubs. You're playing so much football back to back. It's great for fans because you've got games every couple of days and whatever. Like Amazon Prime's got 3 more games today. We've got another game on Friday. Then we've got a game on, is it Monday? You know, so it's kind of like boom, 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 boom. Football, football, football. As long as you're winning, it's great. But, you know, it's just that festive time. But I guess for managers, you like to bitch and moan, you know, about these highly paid players playing 90 minutes every couple of days. It's, you know, it always does make me chuckle.
What's the difference between the NBA, let's say, and then playing every single day for 9 months and footballers who are complaining when they play twice a week?
I guess the NBA play 60 minutes and they rotate, don't they, teams of 6 at a time. So I guess with the ball and playing time, they're probably playing 35 minutes of sport. And I don't think it's as physical because of the size of the court. So let me give an example. Like Hector, one of our players, has run 12K in his last 3 games each game.
Yeah.
That's the most kilometers you're going to run. So I guess you're a runner. If you run, you know, and by the way, it's vociferous running. So if you do 36K in the space of 8 days, you're fucked.
Yeah.
Your legs are going to go. So I guess you've got to manage it. It depends on your style. If you're a team that just bolts the ball forward all fucking game long and you don't have runners, or you don't have people running around like the Schmodics, like some of our players are, you know, I guess you can do fine. But I think at times with you need to rotate. It's so close.
Especially if you're playing pressing and the pressing.
I'd love to see our team play 46 games, our best team, but it's just not going to happen. So, because the other thing you're going to risk is you're going to hurt some of your players, and you're going to need them as you go into the season. So, you know, for the greater good, you've got to believe and trust in the squad can pull out results, and you can tweak and rest a few, take players off. Our biggest sin over Christmas would be not battering anyone by the hour mark and then making 5 changes. So, you know, that's where it can, you know, you kick yourself in the arse if you don't do that. So it is what it is.
So let's talk about recent events at the Posh then. I know we've had questions and questions and questions for months and months and months about what's going on behind the scenes. And, you know, obviously we haven't been able to talk about that really because, you know, negotiations and just everything going on that, you know, through that process. But I wonder if you could talk about the announcement a couple of weeks ago about you taking a majority ownership of the club back and kind of where things lie at the moment, and then we can kind of work backwards from there.
Yeah, so, you know, most of 2023 has been spent negotiating with the main negotiator for OKR over, you know, the debts owed, you know, to OKR from certain loans. So there was a conversation many times around that, and I've been dealing with the main negotiator. He's been brilliant. And we've been going backwards and forwards, and many times we thought we had a deal. But with things like this, it's very complicated. Like when the final bones of the deals were sent over, each document, I'd said it to you, didn't I? There were like 48 pages each. Yeah. And there's so many things in those documents. And, you know, spent a lot of money on legal fees. And through that process, it's always been a very transparent process. You know, all this bullshit in the summer from the Athletic about us going into administration. It was never, you know, that journalist, I even told that journalist, that, you know, I pretty much agreed a deal. And could he wait till the transfer window was shut? It was 6 days away. Because I knew anything negative that came out would affect any bids. And I was like, look, if you care about football, just give me 6 days and I'll give you the full story. You know, and he was like, who are you to tell me when to wait? You've got till tomorrow to comment. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and then again, when the deal was coming out last week or 2 weeks ago, he actually emailed me the night before because his leak had leaked to him about it. So I didn't even fucking answer him. I was like,
yeah.
like that, you know. So I had written an email with my lawyer included, and I was like, you know what, I'm not wasting the energy. You know, the worst part is that, you know, I was really good to the editor of The Athletic, who'd asked me for favors over the years, and, you know, I'd considered them a friend. So when all that attack was coming at me from them, I was really, really fucking surprised.
And so that really pushed the deal back, because you were ready to do it. You had the financing and everything, and then that came out.
And to be fair, I didn't even email the editor of The Athletic. I thought, no, I'm not even going to email you. You know, the fact you've got somebody all over me like this, and, you know, they can't take my word for it about things and wait like 6 days. But I'd done a loan situation, and then that came out, and then the headline was administration. It just frightened away anything. So that just did everything but help us as a club, you know. So anyway, enough about them fuckers. So we've been working and working and working. And when we were working away, I said to these, the OKR at the time, I said, look, you've got your own thing to do with the shares in the club, you know, whatever's gone on there with Randy Jason. I said, you know, I'm putting my own money in. I'm pretty much paying the bills. You know, I think it's only right I try and take back majority ownership, because a partnership won't work if there's only one party putting in this year, you know, going forward. And that's not a slight on anyone involved, by the way. That's just about this year, because they are, you know, money's been put in. So we worked around a deal on the shares. So I've acquired, you know, a large chunk of their 50%, and I've got a multi-year option for the final 20% final amount percent in the club. So I am the majority owner. At any time I can exercise my option. We renegotiated the debt on a payment plan over a long period of time, which is very manageable for the club. There's other loans I've done recently as well that were expiring that people would have seen. I'm sure Kieran Maguire will be on The Price of Football doing a whole thing on it, and because I believe he did something recently on his pod. Yeah. I mean, he was talking to some fan had said I was on the pod. I don't know what it was about.
I haven't heard it, actually.
Right, so I'm sure he'll be looking into it in Company's House. We'll show loans. But what I've done is there were X amount of loans in Company's House. I at high interest rates. I've renegotiated them with another loan to bring those down, to bring the interest payments down, the amounts down, to pay off expiring loans. And the deal I'm doing as well with the shares, and that's going to wipe out millions in debt off the club's balance sheet. You know, my ultimate goal is, you know, when I was sole owner, our debts were less than 3 or 4 million. You know, at any given time, and over the next 2 years, I would expect them to be back down there again, which is very manageable, I think, for any football club to have debts around that level. A majority of them are usually the one person, yeah. You know, instead of 7, 8 different people. You know, and it's like everything else. I was never, you know, because I spoke to you about stuff. Was I ever worried about us being in trouble?
Not at all. It was more just a timing. You just like, you know, you always wanted things to go faster because there's that. Impatience, but also, yeah. You know, you wanted stability as fast as you could possibly get it. But there was never any concern that a deal wasn't going to get done.
No, exactly. And you know, I had a lot of help around me, and a massive, I have to send out a big thank you for help as well from one of my best pals, Ian Crawford, mm-hmm. who was brilliant helping me as well with all of this, you know, not just financially, but emotionally. And, you know, he's a fucking absolute superstar. You know, and family and whatever else. There was a lot of stress. Even when we were getting down to signing, it was around Thanksgiving, as you know, and it went on. There was so many things came up that needed to be changed last minute. And then I had to have two people resign from the board, and there was whole stuff around that. And then there was, you know, and even when the board things went out there, we hadn't signed yet. So we couldn't, you know, I was like, don't say anything. Mm-hmm. And then people start speculating and, you know, more speculation. And then obviously the Athletic the other day, just before the signing was about to be announced, you know, we're like, again, trying, you know, and even the stuff in the guy's email was wrong. You know, it was like, Jesus, enough of the misinformation. The message I want out there is we're in good shape. We're going to get in better shape. We don't need to sell our players for fuck all. So stop making stupid bids. This is me now running the operation. I'm the majority owner. I will sell small minorities in the club. I've said this before. I have no problem. You know, as long as I have majority, I have full power, which I feel is best in current circumstance where I can control everything.
Yeah.
But I have no problem having minority shareholders who want to join our board, who want to put some money into the, you know, into the situation, who want to learn about how a football club operates, and also to bring their own talents to the table. You know, and I've no issue with Jason, I've no issue with Randy, and I want to make that clear. And I said that in my thing, that I don't want any fans having to go with those guys. Those guys were fucking brilliant when they came in. They were brilliant, you know, through COVID. You know, I genuinely am gutted. They're not owners in the football club for whatever reason. they are more than welcome, you know, to come back in. I've said this to them. I've emailed them both that you can come back in anytime. You can buy back into the club. You know, I wish it didn't go the way it went and they stopped working together and all the things and to the fund as well. You know, I'm glad we've done a deal. I'm glad they're going to be made right. I'm glad that, you know, everything, you know, and the next stage now is the stadium, which is a completely separate thing from our football club. So, you know, to Jason and Randy, you know, massive kudos to them for all the time they put in. And a big thank you to Randy as well at OKR, because ultimately, even though I'm dealing with a head negotiator, he's still got his board and him that had to give the okay. And you know, whilst we haven't been all best friends for the last 12 months, we still shared a lot of good times. And yes, whilst, you know, things got antsy in the last 12 months, because my only concern through everything, and I mean this, on my children, was Peterborough United Football Club. It's my only concern. It's not about friendships. It's not about partnerships. It's not about egos. Peterborough United Football Club. And the money I've put in and the things I've done will show people that, you know, and the way what I decided with the gaffer in the summer, the reload and what we had to do and going down that route. And we're a little bit ahead of the ball on where we want, you know, where we thought we'd be. We never thought we were going to be 9th, 10th, 11th, like a lot. You know, we always thought with what we had in the building, the recruitment in the summer, that we'd be a good team this year. But we're building and building and building. And one eye is on being a better football team. One eye is on producing from our academy. And then one eye is on making sure our debts are reduced. Because you don't want to continue having to pay interest payments. It's just dead money you're giving away. You don't want to carry loads of debt. The people are always looking at your accounts and going, oh my God almighty, they've got like so much money in debt and da 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 da. But I've always paid our bills on time. There's never a bill I haven't paid. I've always paid our wages on time. I've always paid our taxes on time. I've always paid our creditors on time. You know, our investors from the bond get their dividend every year. They get a bonus when we get promoted. You know, all those things. We've never ever welched on anything. There's nobody can say Peterborough United welched them. Everyone always gets their money. We always have. And this year I've made sure of that myself personally as regards to making those payments. So, you know, that's where we are. It's not some big celebration that's needed. It's just facts of the matter. And we go forward now. But we're very healthy. We have assets all over you know, we get bids. I mean, I'm going to the bids with that and whatever else. But I've told Barry, like, pretty much, like, most of the people who've bid, for particularly our front players as well, to fuck off till the summer. We're not interested. Unless it's Herculean money in January. You know, we know Ronnie is probably going to go. We know Jono's going to go. But we're not interested. Unless it's fucking ridiculous money, we're not interested in selling any of our prime assets, our forward quick players. And fans need to calm down on contracts. I'm going through contracts. We've got options on all our players. You know, there's no player that's going to be out of contract in the summer that's, you know, worth millions potentially.
Yeah, you're not leaving money on the table because people are going to walk away.
No, and a lot of them are under 24, have come to our academy since they were 8. Which means we would get fucking millions. We've already had offers for millions. You always get a lot more than what you're offered when you show the offers you've had. So I'm not losing fucking sleep about it. And people need to let me do what I do. There's always like, do this and do that. And, you know, PK's going back. And we did all right in the summer. I think we've done all right the last few windows. I think we're doing all right in what we're trying to do. I think we've got a lot of talent coming through. We're still going to invest in talent. There's three or four on my list. I'm going this morning. Was what I was going through, all the scout reports and things we're looking at in January in the summertime. You know, and whilst it's not always perfect and whilst we make mistakes, I keep saying it, best in class CEO, best in class commercial, best in class, you know, tickets, best in class media, best in class coaching at a manager level, best in class academy level. We've just recruited an unbelievable 18s manager. We've just got a 21s guy in to help with Sims, who used to be a manager in non-league. We've played in the past in like the FA Cup, whose philosophy on football is phenomenal. These people are going to improve every facet of what we do. You know, our academy manager, Dan, brilliant, you know, great guy. He's had a great impact since he's come in, really excited. And, you know, one of the great legacies from the work Jason did with the academy, you know. The stuff we're doing digitally, which Randy was a part of and whatever else. You know, there's so many things that we can get. You know, we're going to do the new mega store. I've now got the plans. I've now got two prices. We're doing that. We're going to have a new catering company potentially next summer. You know, Dawn and Alex and whatever else have gone through like the best six out there and we're down to the last two. You know, we're then going to sort out the Alia Center. So there's a lot of things whilst it's not happening right now today. We're really working on the fan zone experience. You know, the stuff Alex is doing with potentially a new catering company for different cuisines and foods, you know, it's going to be some good things happening. Whether our football leads to the championship, wherever it leads, you know, the club is growing. Like I said, our attendances in League One are the highest they've been in its history. Yeah. you know, in, certainly in my modern era. And I just think we're getting better at everything. Could we be better at some other things? 100%. It's not always perfect, and people want to jump on every mistake we make. Or, you know, I think there was something about the Leeds tickets recently that there were a few people, but it was quashed really quickly, you know, because I don't now have any, I don't have a, it's not allowed to say, because I have a final say in everything as the owner, but I don't get involved now. The tickets I leave with the CEO, you know, I leave with, we've got Sire on safety, you know, who's brilliant. We've got then Chris, who's phenomenal on tickets, and then Alex. And I leave them as a little hub to make the decision on what do you think is the best pricing? What do you think is the best way to do this? And we've sold out. I think we've got 13,000. We're trying to break over to 13. Safety are trying to keep us under 13, you know, with certain designated areas. But we could have sold the game 1.5 times over. So you know, we're getting there, Phil. You know, and this isn't, I don't want people listening and going, geez, you're going on about Peterborough and da-da-da-da-da. But, like, we are really optimistic. You know, win, lose, or draw, you know, we're optimistic about where we're going as a club. And I'm excited about that. And everyone knew I was looking to sell up because I needed a bit of time away and whatever else. And, you know, I've always said I'm going to get this club in a really good shape. And if some shape comes in or one of the Newcastle owners' cousins wants to buy and make Peterborough, because it's now closer to London by train, make them a project, you know what I mean, for the Premier League in a few years' time. Hell, have at it. I would never, ever stop that happening. Do you know what I mean? I'd want the honorary chairmanship or El Presidente, but...
You keep the parking spot.
yeah, keep the parking spot. Exactly right, you know. But, yeah, I don't want headlines from that being, Darryl wants to sell and Darryl... No, I'm here.
It's just the best thing. You and the best thing for the football club and the best... Whoever can make the most for the football club.
I've been fully engaged for a whole of 2023. You know, from January onwards, bringing the gaffer back, you know, I've been fully engaged, knowing what needed to be done. I knew the route I needed to go down. With everything that happened just before that, Christmas, I knew this is, I needed to do this, and I'm probably going to need to do it for the next couple of years. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So my mission is like zero debt, a team worth fucking 50, 60 million, stadium resolved, new stadium down the line, push up the leagues, style of football our fans love, and just grow. That's the mission.
Now, you talked about the stadium. It's a question we always get on the pod, and Randy was obviously a big proponent of looking at the stadium move. Would you say that that's off, or it's more like this isn't the right time to be building a stadium given where interest rates are, given where the club is with debt, and it's just not number one priority?
So we have a long-term lease in our current place. There's nearly 20 years left on that. Me, Randy, Jason, own a stadium company. We're going to deal with that now, the debt okay on that. The last week of January, I have a phone call scheduled and we start negotiating on that. And we're going to solve that problem. But I have said to Randy, I've said to Jason, you know, new stadium comes up again, be involved. You know, Randy loved it, happy for him to be involved, no problem at all. I still think it can happen. I still think it isn't even down to ownership issues. It isn't down to debts. It isn't down to whatever else. It's always down to the land. It's down to the council. It's down to the local authority to say, we're going to get to a stage where we're selling out 13,000 plus every week. We get to where we want to be. We could probably get 15, 16 comfortably. The better we do in the champ, we could get up towards 20. That revenue for a city that's meant to be growing and expanding all the time, you know, they're lending money to hotels that aren't open at low interest rates. So give us land. Help us with a new stadium, you know, government cheap loans, but you don't have to pay the stupid interest rates. But we can get loans easily. We could get a loan from the Middle East, you know, for a new stadium. But you're talking 7, 8, 9%. You're giving ownership stakes away. You know, let's do it as a local authority, because we did a study. You bring, you know, 400 million gets brought into the city over 15 years with a new stadium. It would make, it would be a centerpiece for the city. You know, I want to still do that. It's still massive. I've got a long list of to-dos. We've achieved a few. We've got a lot more to go. We're trying to buy more land for the training ground. We want to expand out for the academy. We want to build more facilities. I've told Dan, we sell some academy players. More funding will go into the academy to improve our facilities for the first team and for the academy. We had a meeting last week about the women's football team. You know, Bobby's doing well in commercial, potentially looking at the general manager spot there and getting a bit more energy in there, because they're doing phenomenal. They're growing. Since we've moved them to their own place to play games, it's getting better and better and better. The level of players getting better. You know, we think there's a profile there for ladies football. Our foundation, which isn't a Peterborough United thing, it's independent. Again, they're, I think, their best year. So all those things, you just want to, you want it to be like that, a trajectory where it's just, you don't want anything to be like that. You just want it to be step by step by step by step by step. So, and I think we can do it all. And there's a lot on. But I do know that I've now finally got the people working throughout the club there, the right people. The right people. And I, you know, a lesson I should have learned a long time ago is, you know, the people around you are more important than yourself. And probably my ego never let me, you know, take that on board. But as you get older and I look at 50 in a few years, you're going, no, we've got to have the right people. We get the right people in place, we're halfway there.
Getting people around you that you can trust means that you don't have to worry about it. It means that you can put that headspace somewhere else.
100%. The biggest compliment I can give people like Chris, Alex, Dawn, and CEO, Liz, is that while all of this has been going on for the last 9 months, you know, they have been fucking brilliant doing their bit. They've been brilliant taking over the things I haven't had to get involved in because they know I'm just stacked on, you know, raising money, refinancing loans, getting the money in place to for the down payment to do this deal and, you know, solving the debt deal and getting that done. And, you know, they've been brilliant because I couldn't do everything, you know, because obviously I'm massively into the recruitment with Baz, the manager, all that side of things. And, you know, fair play, you know, the people in the departments have just like taken the pressure off, you know, by doing their jobs really fucking well. And I'm going to need them to be even better in 2024. Like, listen, that's not a warning. That's just, I need everyone to be better. You know, that's
a lot of work ahead. Now, did you know when you bought a football club, you were buying yourself a full-time job at the same, an unpaid full-time job at the same time?
No, I have to start charging, right? No, I didn't, you know, when I was 29 buying a club and I was fucking, you know, making money like it was fun every day, I didn't think to this level, but I didn't know either equally I'd become an addict and in love with it and so engulfed in it and whatever. And look, I've got my own shit I got to do next year as well. I got, you know, son's going to college. I got my daughter then the following year got to college. I've got the house I'm sorting out in the States for my wife, you know, that we're finishing. I've got a lot of things on my plate and I've got to earn a few quid myself and work projects that I'm doing as well. And, you know, I've got a business partner that I do a lot of stuff with, I've mentioned already. So, you know, there's so many things to be thankful for. And whilst this year hasn't been perfect, I think, you know, the thing that happened against Sheffield Wednesday might turn out to be the best thing that's ever happened to our football club in a weird way.
Who'd have thought that at full time?
I did.
On that night.
I did.
Yeah.
I did. I knew exactly what I wanted to do 10 minutes after the game. I did. I asked the manager. We spoke after the game. And that's when we started mapping out and planning. I did. And I actually thought it was a perfect opportunity to do what we needed to do. And if we'd gone into the champ with some of the players and the contracts they were on, they would have gone up even more in wages. We'd never have been able to shift them. So I'm not saying, by the way, we took the game. I'd have loved to have won promotion. I would take promotion any day of the week. And I'd have dealt with it, no problem whatsoever. But I just think, in a weird way, God was saying...
Hindsight.
God was saying, you're not ready. Yeah. I've given you the thrill of gate crashing the playoffs. I've given you the thrill of winning the first leg and showing everyone the young players are so good. I've given you all of that. Now I'm going to take back and slow your roll and just say one step at a time and you're not quite ready yet. So I just think it was the right thing. So it's what it is.
As normal, what a roller coaster year as we wrap up the year. But going into it, you know, with a lot of positivity, with things on the pitch going well, with things behind the scenes, you know, on a you've got something you can control and a plan, and things are starting to come together there.
And that's all you can hope for. And we wish everyone, you know, a phenomenal Happy New Year. And, you know, for those people we lost this year and other people have lost this year, we obviously say God bless and, you know, thoughts and love and prayers with everyone there. But all you can hope for in 24 is a healthy, wealthy, successful year for everyone involved. And hopefully everyone gets what they deserve. And that's all you ever want. So on that note, I think we'll sign off and bid farewell to everybody.
Yep. Have a great New Year's Eve, everybody. And we will be back again next week. We'll have a couple of games to cover then. But stay safe.
Awesome. And we'll appreciate it. Take care, guys.
Thanks a lot, everybody.